Complete Chess Strategy, Part 9. Positional Understanding, Piece by Piece, by Chess Diagnostic. In this lesson, we are going to review the unique positional properties of each chess piece one by one. This will give you a complete overall understanding you can use in addition to the strategic elements we analyzed earlier. Though it may seem basic, understanding the properties of each piece is the reason Capablanca stated, "In order to improve your game, you must study the endgame before everything else. For whereas the endings can be studied and mastered by themselves, the middle game and opening must be studied in relation to the endgame." Now, the reason he's talking about the endgame is because you can study each specific piece by itself. Now, we're not going to go through a whole endgame course here, but I'm just going to simply review each piece and the most important properties so that you know it by the end of this course. First, we will start with the king. Steinitz stated, "The king is a fighting piece. Use it." This mainly applies to the endgame. In the opening and middle game, your king can be an object of attack. So before the endgame, you should focus on castling for the twofold reason of keeping your king safe, as well as activating your rook. But in the endgame, the king becomes a normal piece that you should use to attack your opponent's pawns and usher your passed pawns down the board. For your queen, we know that in the opening, we want to develop the queen as the last piece. The two main reasons are that if you develop your queen too early, it can become an object of attack, and from the opening, it is not always clear where you should place your queen. In the middle game, the queen becomes a main fighting piece, and it is best to be patient to decide where to place her. If you can't decide where to place the queen, it is good to keep in mind to simply develop the queen to the second or third rank. From there, you will be able to find the best fighting formation for your queen in the middle game, because it won't be developed too forward, and it won't become an object of an attack from your opponent. On to the rook. Because the rook moves in a straight line, simply the rook needs to have open lines. Now, open lines means open files and ranks. If you have rooks and they are cramped, then your primary focus should be to open a file or a rank and put it as forward into the opponent's territory as possible, preferably on the 7th or 8th rank, where it will be the most active. The primary way to open lines is to push pawns and use them as battering rams. For the bishops, we have analyzed that the bishop is slightly stronger than the knight because it simply controls more squares. A concrete way to gain a slight material advantage is to trade an opponent's bishop for your knight. If you can gain the bishop pair, you will be able to control both colored squares. It is helpful to know that if you have the bishop pair, it is easier to start an attack on the squares of the bishop that your opponent doesn't have. For example, if you have the light squared bishop and your opponent doesn't, then your attack has a higher chance of success because the opponent will have a more difficult time defending. Just like the rook, bishops need open diagonals. The way to accomplish this is to push your pawns to help open the position. As for the knight, you should know that knights need strong forward squares. If you can place your knight on a square in the opponent's territory that it can't get rid of, you will have a huge advantage in activity. So what if you end up on the wrong side of an opponent's bishop? The way to combat this, or the opponent's bishop pair, is to either place your knight on a strong square or place your pawn to block the bishop and close the position. Another thing you can do is to use the bishop that you have to trade one of the bishops so that the bishop pair isn't so strong. Last of all, we are at the pawns. We should not complicate the strategic importance of pawns. In fact, Nigel Short, a once top grandmaster, stated, "Modern chess is much too concerned with things like pawn structure. Forget it. Checkmate ends the game." The main thing you should know about pawns is that they can either impede your piece's activity or help increase your piece's activity. As we discussed with the bishops and the rook, you can use your pawns to open lines or diagonals for your pieces, as well as provide supports for your knight. Your pawns can provide space for increased movement of your pieces, as well as shield your king against attack. Pawns are either tools you use to attack the opponent, objects of attack against the opponent, or a detriment that restricts your pieces. It is important to keep in mind that in the endgame, pawns are really the most important factor. You can attack your opponent's pawns in the endgame to gain an advantage, or simply push or create a passed pawn for yourself. So in this lesson, we reviewed the overall general properties of each specific piece, and this will form the background of your positional understanding. And in addition to the strategic elements and thought process, you'll be able to apply this information to find the best move given a time constraint, as well as your current chess understanding. I just wanted to make a point that in order to improve at any specific skill in chess, you need to start slow. Playing blitz games will give you a good initial experience, but will not make you a better player as quickly as ingraining a comprehensive thought process. In the last lesson, lesson 10, we will analyze a complete game to tie everything together, how all this information relates to and is used in a real game. It is not really separate, disconnected information, but one thing flows to the next. Leave a comment on future video topics you would like to learn, and thanks for watching.